This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Calvin talks to Asha Rospigliosi, Senior Lecturer in e-business at Brighton Business School at the University of Brighton. And they're talking about the way that digital marketing is taught to students. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
Asha, so you work at the University of Brighton. Can you just give the listeners a quick sort of background on the department you work in and some of the courses you teach and some of the research interests that you have?
Yeah, I'd love to, Calvin. So I teach at the University of Brighton in the Business School, which is the largest school in the university. We've got about 1,000 undergraduate students. Those are students preparing to do an honours degree. And then about another 400 students who are doing postgraduate qualifications, things like MBAs and so on. I teach across the whole range of from first-year students right the way through to people who are doing PhDs. But my particular interest is students who are about to finish their degree. They're in their final year, and they're trying to move from being general business students to getting a more clear sense on where they're going in the world.
And are you finding quite a few, because I know your kind of interest is in digital marketing, that's kind of an area that you've got expertise, but do you find in general kind of people are going in for a business degree, whether it be an MBA or an MA or just a conventional degree that they're taking? Do you think that a lot of them are kind of heading in the way of digital because that's the way the market's finding, or is it an area of interest, or are they kind of falling into it? Because that's often, particularly with some of the specialisms of digital marketing, it often feels that wasn't an active choice necessarily that the person made. Often they kind of fell into SEO or fell into email marketing and that type of thing.
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. A lot of students or a lot of graduates fall into digital marketing. They don't go through their university education being aware of how significant a sector that is. So in their day-to-day experience, of course they know it's enormous. They spend all their time on iPhones and iPads, they do all their writing and research online, and they primarily rely on online resources to sort of validate their, to give them additional materials beyond the books. But they don't realize what a big employment sector it is. Universities tend to lag behind the experience of the real world. So although we're creating new knowledge, the kind of cases and examples we give, if we talk about working in marketing, a lot of the talk will be about working in marketing departments where it's print and television and things like that. So it's really in that final year when I get my hands on the students that I'm saying to them, hey guys, why aren't you blogging? Aren't you aware that there's this huge digital world that you're going to be working in, because that's where the work is? They do get it in that when they come back from placement, if they've had a little bit of experience of working in the real world, they suddenly realize that at the very least, we need to know how to manage websites, social media, and be engaged with the tools of the digital world.
And I've certainly seen over the last couple of years that universities, Brighton in particular, but MMU, Manchester Metropolitan University up in the north west as well here in the UK, and varieties of other universities, they're really kind of started to get digital. Is that kind of like, are they still the exception rather than the rule? Like, is a small number of universities doing a very, very good job, or is it just kind of that lag that you talked about kind of catching up a little bit?
I think the lag means that it is still the exception. For example, I think there are very few degrees in digital marketing yet. The example you gave of Manchester, I think that's the collaboration with the e-consultancy, and they're possibly the only master's program as specific as that. I think there's still a lot of growth in that area. I hope I'm not giving away competitive advantage here. But the universities are tailing behind, and it is something that I hope to see changing over the next few years.
But that does seem a little bit strange, doesn't it, to a certain extent, given the general direction that the kind of university sector is taking in the UK, where kind of far more, as fees increase or as, the competition for students increases, that it's far more kind of the logic behind that is that it's market-driven, isn't it? So you would assume that if the demand's there, that there should be the courses or the learning there to help support that.
I think so, but the market's very strange in that, I don't know, very strange, but there's quite a big delay because the people who we're marketing to are 18-year-olds coming out with their A-levels. They're the ones who are choosing where to go, and they may not yet be thinking what I want to do is to be specializing in search engine optimization or creating interactive email campaigns. I think that will change. Our current first years now make viral videos as part of a first year project. They all know what that is and why that's interesting. So hopefully we'll see that sort of feeding up into the second and third years. 2 or 3 years' time, there may be a lot more specialism. At the moment, I feel a little bit like a few lone voices in the wilderness.
I suppose the challenge to a certain extent there as well, as I know, I did just a media degree at the University of Sussex down in Brighton. And one of the challenges that I think sometimes is, you know, there's this pressure from, you know, the world of business to say, kind of make, you know, courses more, you know, kind of practical and hands-on, maybe more vocational to a certain extent. Yeah. And so then you get the kind of, you know, inevitable kind of conclusion of that is that, you know, I chose a number of digital options within my degree, and in the process of doing that I learned how to use Dreamweaver and, you know, a crash course in the very basics of Flash, which, you know, the Dreamweaver stuff perhaps, you know, has kind of turned out to be relatively useful for me, but the, you know, the Flash course and the like, very, very, you know, not that useful. And I heard someone talking online on Twitter, you know, that like they did their degree and they did their dissertation on how to use WordPerfect, if you know what I mean, and their IT degree. And is that kind of a bit of the danger there, that actually because these things, they change, because the technologies change, because the tools change, that actually the role of the universities is kind of to introduce strategy, or kind of the ability to think bigger than perhaps these individual specialisms that sometimes,
I'm so glad you put it like that, Kelvin, because I think we were going down a slightly negative route, and you're absolutely right that the individual skills are much less important than the more transferable skill of understanding how to evaluate a tool or an approach, fit it into a broader context, and rely on the kind of capability our students develop to research something that they need to know about. So learning about an individual tool, like you say, something like Flash, quickly dates, whereas the more transferable skills of saying, I understand how to frame a question, then evaluate the resources and then use that, that is what we really need to be focusing on in universities, because whatever tool set we're using today in a fast-changing digital world, it will be out of date tomorrow, and it's about knowing how to take lessons from one context and use them again elsewhere.
And that kind of, I suppose, skill in critical thinking, it does then sort of raise the question that should people be taking kind of combined degrees or potentially choosing something completely separate, you know, like actually is, you know, because I know, I think probably the skills that I took away most from my time at university was around confidence of presenting, around, you know, in the number of societies that I got involved in terms of networking and understanding problems and dealing with people and the personalities that kind of you get from working on those types of projects. Does that then lend the kind of argument towards, well, perhaps people should be doing things combined with philosophy or combined with, you know, critical thinking or all these other kind of possible, you know, perhaps very or, you know, more academic disciplines and with the rigor that comes with those in combination with perhaps something a little bit more vocational?
I think that is, there is a good case for that. About 70% of graduate jobs say that they are open to graduates of any discipline. And as you say, often what employers are looking for is primarily critical thinking, the ability to go on and learn about things for yourself, so independent learning, and skills, soft skills like presentation and so on. But many students who come on a business degree do so because they want to come out ready to be employable. And I think business degrees, being generalist enough, almost are multidisciplinary, because you're doing, in a typical business degree, you'll do some maths and quant, statistics and accounts, and you'll do things like marketing, which are sort of softer, and you might do something like economics, which is more like a sort of broad philosophical way of thinking about things. Within that mix, I think in the final year, giving them some specific experience of the digital realm, I value it. And my students say that it makes them feel more ready to go into interview and say, yes, I know what a blog is and what Twitter is. But you're quite right that all those skills will date, and that really the learning that they're getting is about how to learn and how to think critically.
And one of the things we talked about briefly, Asha, before we started recording, was kind of about some of the tools and techniques that you use to help teach that perhaps have a little bit more of a digital edge to them. And I suppose kind of I was interested to get your take on, you know, So recently I've signed up, and I'll admit I've not been the best student on this, but I've signed up for one of the kind of the, you know, the massive, the, I forget what they call them now, the online
multiplayer game. No, yeah, the MOOC.
Yes.
Massive online courses.
Yes. And I signed up for one about data journalism. And it's amazing the quality of kind of education that's out there being produced by universities that is kind of accessible for free. And I mean, I don't think that necessarily takes the place of a degree, but perhaps is an interesting kind of way for some of our listeners who are perhaps thinking about expanding their knowledge. How are you seeing that from kind of the academic side of the, you know, is that the type of thing that you'd sign up for to learn more about? Is that things that kind of you as a university are trying to get more involved in?
As an individual, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I'm very keen on the democratization of knowledge. So you know, the West has a huge advantage in the sort of legacy of wealth we've got. This great learning that should be available for people anywhere in the world where they can get an internet connection. The quality of the learning is of the learning materials can be outstanding. Universities like MIT have made available all their courseware, and I think that the capacity to use that is fabulous. You said about yourself that you haven't actually attended very often. And I think that for many people, learning is a social experience. It's not just about studying materials. It's about demonstrating that you've understood them by talking about them with other learners. So in my own use of digital technologies for learning, I focus particularly on ways that students can share what they're doing, explain things to each other and to me, and get feedback, rather than producing very high quality, let's say, video tutorials. Partly because I don't have the resource or capability to produce things that are on a world class, but I can bring together students and help them to discuss what they mean. So I think MOOCs are a great democratizing force, and I'm all for them. I don't personally create them, but I love to facilitate learning using those kind of resources.
Yeah, I suppose it's the classic challenge that you hear. You know, I suppose it's almost a bit like going to the gym, isn't it? Lots of people will sign up for the gym, but very few people will go every day of the week. And I think that's probably going to be part of what happens with this education as well, because it's like, I would love to learn far more about data journalism than I do, hence my signing up for the course. I definitely think it's an interesting way that's going to head in the future on that side of things.
Yes, I mean, we are getting to a time where there's opportunity to learn about anything from the best teachers in the world with the best resources in the world. And the role of the university, I think, is to provide the experience in which you can, or my university anyway, is to provide an experience in which you can come and do that and enjoy being amongst other people who are doing it.
Yeah, so it becomes more efficient in, you know, and I suppose validation of the learning as well, isn't it? Because there is that kind of, you know, self-taught you can get so far, but I think for a lot of people, that kind of external validation that what they're knowing and learning is of a you know, a quality control standard is kind of, you know, potentially very important there as well.
And of course, for employers and things, it's all very well someone saying, I've been and looked at the courseware from MIT. Did you understand it? Were you able to make it your own? Those are the things that a university can kind of certify by saying that we gave them exams, got them to write essays and make presentations, and possibly even build websites and blogs.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for your time there, Ash. I think it's a really, really interesting space. And it is that kind of the thing I would say to, you know, some of the listeners here perhaps, you know, kind of quite experienced digital practitioners themselves, there will be kind of local institutions to you who, you know, perhaps crying out for some kind of practitioner, you know, involvement in their courses. And I know that kind of it's something that, you know, I've been keen with some of my colleagues at Site Visibility to try and wherever possible, you know, come in. And in our case, often it's kind of quite pragmatic, in the sense that we're trying to sell some of the, you know, SEO, pay-per-click, analytics, some of the disciplines that we're interested in order to get people interested enough that they would apply for jobs in that space. But I think even above and beyond that, if you're not a person doing the recruiting, there's certainly, I think, people who's always willing to listen and learn from practitioners, definitely.
Thank you.
Fantastic. No, really appreciate that, Asha. And yeah, what I'll do is I will share in the show notes all of Asha's details online. I definitely recommend following him online on Twitter. He certainly shares some interesting things that the guys at Brighton University are up to.
Thanks, Kelvin.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.